Well, I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Mikulik?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. Please arise, join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alderman Skaronski and I are out of breath. We just ran from the 128th refueling unit where we left our salads on the table and all the generals and everybody. If you've never been to that, it's quite a ceremony. They all dress up, and it's America at its best. With that, you have before you the minutes of Thursday, May 5th, 2011. Is there any discussion? Motion approved.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I think I've been to too many meetings this week. Public hearings, business items, Waterstone Bank, SSP. Mr. Deedle?
This is a condominium plat. I believe representatives are here if we have any questions. It's an existing building, one building, a duplex. They want to turn from a duplex to private owners to a condo. So they are going through the condominium process, and the staff had no concerns or issues. There's two minor technical corrections they have to make, but it's not significant. And they're covered in the standard language of the ordinance or the resolution. So we're recommending approval. We did mention something else going on in the subdivision with other units that were...
Is that part of the agenda?
Not directly. It's a condo issue, but not particular to this project, so it wouldn't affect this project.
All right, Mr. Bennett.
Just one question. How is the maintenance going to be written in this? Are you going to have a common maintenance authority like most condominiums have where you contract to have somebody or one person, one entity maintains both sides?
Correct.
The ground?
For general lawn maintenance, no removal, things of that nature, yes.
Okay. So we'd have one person, one entity to go to if we have problems out there?
Correct.
This is your district, right,
yes.
Alderman Skaronski?
Yes,
Alderman Skaronski.
Homeowners Association have no problem with that, and you talk to them?
Correct.
Okay. But Doug?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Very good. I was going to call you Alderman Haley. Mr. Haley.
Question, concern. I have no problem with dividing the townhouse into condominiums, but I think we may be crossing a sticky legal line here, and I wish City Attorney who was to guide us on this.
City Attorney is very ill today.
My concern is, given my real estate training, we're taking a townhouse, we're creating two condos. I look at the CSM, we've got basically what's labeled limited common elements, basically driveways and sidewalks, and then everything else, meaning the yard, has become a common area. There's no condominium homeowners association in this development. There's a homeowners association comprised of duplexes and single-family units that has responsibilities to the city to maintain common areas, the detention base, and all of these things. So I guess I'm also a little bit troubled that we've already got almost half of these townhomes have already been converted. But the question that it begs is, how are these common areas being dealt with? Now, we just got the simple answer that as far as grass mowing, that'll be taken care of, at least of my concerns. You've got all of the greater gamut of issues. I assume there's bylaws for the homeowners association that's existing, and I don't know how a new condominium plays into that because my point is I think that those bylaws need to be revisited because there's probably no discussion about condominiums, and there are certainly no other common areas defined in their agreement other than from the original plat. So it's one thing to just approve and create the condominium units, but those basically end at the building walls. So what about responsibilities, not just for mowing grass, but street right-of-way, the area out at the curb? How do they deal with, and it's not really our concern, but the existing homeowners association has made commitments to the city to perform X requirements, maintain common areas, deal with, I know that there's conservation easement that's been created out there. So it's like we're creating this other little unit that cannot integrate well with the homeowners association. So I'm just curious as to how that's being dealt with, because I think it's really a big problem. It's really more of a legal problem for the property owners. But I think the city needs to be very cautious in this one, because we've already had issues with homeowners associations not complying with issues. And I can easily see this evolving into something where, well, you know, the homeowners association has nothing to do with condominiums. And, you know, that's not our responsibility. You can see that there's some confusion here. And city engineer can shine some light on it.
City engineer.
Yeah, the homeowners association will deal with this just as it was as a lot, because the homeowners association deals with parcels, and each parcel has an interest in the homeowners association. So they'll deal with that, and then you always have to have condo docs, which then spell out the responsibility of the condominium owners. In other words, you have a common maintenance authority, and that's all spelled out. And I guess from the city's interest, we want to know that there is going to be a common maintenance authority, and who would we deal with on that condominium association. Is it going to be one of the homeowners? Going to have joint interest in it, or are they going to hire a lot of our condominium associations hire a manager, a firm to come in, manage it, and they mow it and take care of it. But I don't think there's a conflict between the two, because how this internal ownership is handled has nothing to do with the homeowners association. It's still a home, and it has to comply with all the rules and regulations of the homeowners association, and this condominium authority has to comply with that. But then they have to deal on this parcel with the condominium declarations that will be filed and approved by the planning department, I think the city attorney. And very frank with you, we only review that for items of interest to the city, and that would be the maintenance of infrastructure, lawn, and that, and you know how they structure the other part of it. The city attorney says our approval, and we've talked about this at the Plan Commission, our approval is only for the items that are of concern to the city. We don't necessarily bless a condominium association agreements that could have things in it that the city wouldn't be interested in.
And I agree with that, I think we're pointing out the same thing. It's not ours to get involved in their business, mm-hmm. but the city has an existing agreement with a homeowners association, not a condos association, and it's comprised of members of owned lots. We are now creating a lot that's an entity out there that is, you know, there's no property going with the condominiums. You're creating a new outlot, if you would. And all I'm saying
we're not creating a new outlot.
You are creating an additional common area that is not referenced in any of the existing documents. All I'm saying is this should be resolved, and we don't know how the resolution is. I agree with you that it's a simple enough thing to resolve, but the city should be concerned because commitments were made, and there's nothing that binds one or two of these condominium owners in the future. We're creating a problem for ourselves and them potentially by creating a new common area that's not addressed anywhere in anybody's bylaws. That's my only point here. So again, I have no problem with this being done, but absent seeing those documents, whether we are part of them or not, you've still got a situation where we're sort of setting up a homeowners association for failure or internal controversy over this piece of property because it doesn't have an owner.
Yes, because they do have an owner. There's three types of ownership you can have. You can have fee ownership, where a single family home like you have. You can have a cooperative ownership, where a co-op of a group of people own it. Or you can have a condominium. But just like all our laws pertain to all three of those, it's just a matter of ownership. In fact,
who owns the land? You're creating
the condominium association. In this case, the
there is no condominium association.
The condominium association that they're going to create will own the land, and that land will be treated just as any other parcel in the subdivision.
All I'm saying is, absent knowing how that's being resolved, I see a potential quagmire.
Well, city attorney, I think we've, and maybe we should make this condition upon the city attorney.
Do you have any potential solution?
No, I guess I would just like to have somebody be able to say it is going to be addressed by this. To say that they'll have to figure it out is my exact concern, that we just don't know how it's done. Again, I have no problem with this. I just, I know there's issues. There are commitments that were made with the existing homeowners association relative to the native prairie parcel, the conservation easement, however that was done. So I can just see this creating, you know, we're talking about neighbors, but it's really easy for one of these two condominium owners to say, that's not my land, I shouldn't have to pay the fees. Well, it's his job. All I'm saying is it would be nice to know how this is being resolved, not because it's our business to get involved in their legal business, but there is a commitment to the city by a homeowners association that we're sort of fragmenting. Something. There's no talk in any of their bylaws about any condominiums.
What I'm hearing you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying there currently is a homeowners association, but with this project, there is no, they're not going to be covered under that.
No, they will claim that they are not responsible for this common area. It was never defined in the original plat. We will be creating a new common area that is common to two condominium owners, and there's no language as to how it's to be maintained.
Yeah, because I'm certainly...
And this only becomes problematic when I read the fact that 15 out of 29 of these have already done this. So it sounds like in some way we have set up this homeowners association to fail, or at least to be very divisive amongst itself.
Well, I'm listening intently because I have no desire to get into any more of these types of issues. I mean, I've spent the last year and a half ever since the recession came in of dealing with issues that are part of homeowners associations agreements that don't have legally really anything to do with the city. However, because they are neighbors and because they are our constituents, we try and figure out a way to resolve it. So if there's a way to resolve something like this, I'd certainly be interested.
Well, I guess my resolution to this would be that somehow before this is made formal and CSM is approved, that those issues have been addressed.
This isn't a CSM.
I understand. It's a condominium plat.
It's still
it,
lot...
It is,
still,
it is creating a common area.
It's still lot 45.
Excuse me?
It's still lot 45.
Yes. But it's creating a common area, and no responsibilities are identified. Again, I don't want to make a big deal of it, and you can speak in a minute. My suggestion is just that somehow the city attorney makes sure that before this becomes official, that we've addressed who's taking care of that common area. And then I would ask the question is what we do with the other 15.
Mr. Ritter?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on TV, but I have been a condominium.
We appreciate
that. I have been a condominium owner. And one question I would have to ask is, just because this creates what's defined as common area for the condominium association, I wouldn't necessarily make the leap that says that makes a common area for the homeowners association. I would suggest that this is common area for condominium association, but not common area for the homeowners association, and therefore is not creating common area from the perspective or as maybe an obligation of the homeowners.
And I agree, and I guess the concern is between two condominium owners now, who is ultimately responsible for doing the work and paying for the work relative to that common area. That's all I'm pointing out. And apparently we got 15 other cases of the same problem.
Well, the point is, I think, as I read the conditions here, and staff is more familiar with them than I am, but there does not, as I quickly read over them here, there doesn't seem to be a requirement for the formation of a condominium association. Now, I presume that's going to happen, if it hasn't already happened. But I think that's where those questions would be addressed, because it would be the condominium association that then would have the legal responsibility for the maintenance of the common area, that sort of thing, And I would speculate at least that each of the owners would probably have an undivided interest in the common area. So ultimately, it would be up to them to pay the cost of doing it. But I would suspect that those are, you know, those are the kinds of things that will be covered in a condominium association agreement. So perhaps we should have a condition that requires execution of a condominium association agreement. But again, like I say, I'm certainly not a lawyer, don't claim to be one. But that might be a solution to address the concern.
Mr. Bennett?
And add, I think we add to the motion that be required to create a condominium association under the state law, and that the planning staff and city attorney review and approve the condominium association for those items that are of interest to the city.
And I like that. And my only comment would be is how are we assured then that the homeowners association is going to be comfortable with that? And I know it's not our purview, but I would think that they should be looking at it because they're going to have two owners representing one lot when they come to vote and pay bills. But I love your motion.
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if we'd be ready to have the representative of Waterstone weigh in on this.
Sure.
And then I'd like to say something.
Yeah, okay. Given that we have the topic, I think if we don't have to spend the regular order. Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the...
Sure. Jack Kale with Waterstone Bank, address 828 North 119th Street in Wauwatosa. We are in the process of creating a condo association. We have declaration and bylaws. I apologize if you don't have copies of those. I believe they have been delivered to the Plan Commission. In that, it does stipulate how the common areas are to be maintained. And that the association is to maintain them. We have a budget. There's association dues that are paid by both entities for that purpose. So I think that does address some of your concerns. How it is to be maintained, it's spelled out in the declaration and the bylaws. There are fees that are collected on a monthly basis and a budget that's been drafted that outlines what those fees are to cover. And common area maintenance is one of them.
And if I might, does it also address then how that condominium association interacts with the existing homeowners association and that there is one lot represented?
Well, the association, yeah, the two do interact together, and the two entities, the two members of our condo association, you have two owners, you know, are members of that association, our condo association that we're creating, and then they will interact.
And they will have one vote relative to the homeowners association.
Correct.
And
one lot.
Mr. Ritter?
I would presume that the condominium association agreements would provide for election of officers or some selection process for someone to be the authorized representative of the condominium association.
Correct.
Who would then represent that association in matters concerning the homeowners association.
Correct.
Would that be accurate?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, I talked to Dr. Malinovich, which is the president of the Homeowners Association, and he didn't have a problem with this. Now, unless there was something that he didn't tell me that was out there, but he's been pretty straightforward with me with everything that's going on in that area, and especially with some of the difficulties with some of the people around there. But he didn't seem to have a problem, and you talked to him too?
Yes, I've spoken to him, yes.
Yeah. So normally Doug's pretty straightforward. If there's something there that'll have a burr underneath the saddle, and I think one of his board members is an attorney, if I'm not mistaken. So they're pretty on top of their stuff in that particular area. So.
Mr. Deal?
I did talk to the city attorney, but only specific to the conservation easement and the issues that might be associated with it that the city attorney reassured me did not pertain to this project. He had no concerns that this condo development would have any adverse impact on that conservation easement or those issues that are out there. So I only asked them specifically to that issue.
Okay. I have a potential motion, but I wanted to get the last part of what Mr. Bennett said I got, and that they be required to create the condo association and that the city attorney
documents, condo association documents.
That the city attorney
form acceptable to the city attorney.
City attorney documents.
Form acceptable by the city attorney for those items that are
he was very precise. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you to make a motion. The motion would be, is there a motion to recommend a resolution conditionally approving a condominium plat for 9030-32 South Cord Grass Circle Condominiums at 9030-9032 South Cord Grass Circle East Lot 45 Prairie Grass Preserve Subdivision, Waterstone Bank SSP applicant, and that the parties be required to create a condo association that the
city attorney and planning staff review and approve for items of interest to the city.
And that's your motion?
That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry for not getting here earlier, but we were with generals.
Understood. Thank you.
Item B, Ewald Automotive Group, LLC. Mr. Deal.
Excuse me. The applicants are here as well to answer any questions you may have. They're asking for an amendment to the master sign program. Two years ago, they asked for and received a master sign program. They wanted to add a wall sign and that incorporated all the existing signage they had. At this point in time, they're asking or they're planning on modifying their signage, reducing a few signs, eliminating a few signs, adding a few signs. But the details aren't available yet. So they are asking for a master sign program amendment to make those kinds of changes with the details to be reviewed and approved by staff when they submit. We are recommending approval with a number of conditions. One is that, of course, that the signage they ask for is in accord with the plans. The plans show general locations and square footage that's allowed, so that those locations and square footage would have to be abided by. But if they stay within those bounds, the staff would review and approve the signs. There was a condition in the original master sign program that said that any future amendments consider the reduction of signage and the reduction of pole signs, because it was pointed out by staff and the Plan Commission at that time that there was a large number of signs out there. So it didn't require the reduction. It required the consideration of the reduction. They have made minor reductions in the amount and number of signs, so we say that currently this is good enough. We are continuing to point out that they have a lot of signage out there so that we can carry forward the same consideration in the future. And there are two new issues. One is an electronic sign board. They are thinking they may want to have one in the future. We do believe that we would have staff have concerns with that. However, the city does not currently have standards for electronic signage boards. The director of administration has previously been working on updating the sign code, envisions to continue to work on the sign code, hopefully bring it back soon, but he doesn't know when. So the city attorney crafted that condition in the resolution that says that if at such time they come forward with a sign, electronic sign, it would have to meet the standards that are in place at that time. They're not falling under the standards of today. They would fall under the standards that are in existence at the time they apply.
Is the applicant willing to accept the recommendations and conditions established by staff?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And just for the record, if you could maybe take the microphone and please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Craig Ewald, the owner of the property at 6319 South 108th Street in Franklin.
Okay, and the question I asked you, Mr. Ewald, and by the way, we're really happy that you're in our city and do a great job. And
thank you.
All that stuff. You heard the statements made by Mr. Deal regarding additional conditions and recommendations from the Planning Department, and you're in agreement to follow those?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky?
They have... When they first came in, they changed a lot of signs. They reused some that were not necessary. They keep an immaculate property. They really do a good job at it. It's right at the entrance of the city. Realize that they are selling their product, and they have several manufacturers in which they represent within the Chrysler program. And they do a good job. I've never had a complaint or anybody complain about that property whatsoever. They do a good job. I would recommend it.
The term class act, I think, was made for your business.
Right.
Yeah.
We never figured that we'd have to come before all of you this promptly. However, with Chrysler Corporation having gone bankrupt and we're under a new ownership, They basically took the signage that we had in place that we thought we'd have for many, many years to come, and believe it or not, some of the logo signage, for example, the Chrysler trademark, the Dodge trademark, they became obsolete, and we were ordered by them to remove them from our facility to be in compliance with our franchise agreement. So this has actually resulted in quite a hardship for us. Plus, at the time that we had this, the previous signage, we leased that from Chrysler Corporation. They owned it. They discontinued their leasing program, and we've had to spend upwards of almost $100,000 to buy these signs from a source that we can't shop, we can't compare. It's absolutely been extortion, to put it in plain English. So anyway, we do appreciate all of the consideration and the help that we received from Mr. Baumgarten and Mr. Fuchs and Mr. Zaronsky, our alderman, and all of you, because again, we've and Bob Williams, I think, has done an outstanding job of taking what we thought would be, again, our previous master sign plan, and it was going to be a way of life for us for a long time.
So we should keep Fuchs around here for another week.
I think that Fuchs is a good man. But anyway, I don't need to elaborate, but I just thought I might share a little bit of it with you, because you know, in the past, everybody has worked so hard to try to get us aligned for what we thought would be a long time here. So,
you know, when you started telling that story, I thought you were dealing with state government.
That's another story.
And you're giving all this stuff away. I got a little plastic card. And
you know what amazes me about this whole thing? I had to buy out the lease on that signage.
Yeah.
And when the new signage goes on the facility, the stuff goes in a dumpster and gets destroyed. And we're required to have the sign company destroy it. So you buy it, it'd be like paying off your car and watching the car go through a crusher because it's obsolete. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is.
You guys are, it's like you're working miracles just to stay above water.
Stay above water, stay alive. But it's getting better. It's getting better every day.
Is it?
Yes,
good.
It is.
That's good to hear.
You're a survivor, too.
Thank you.
Well, is there a motion to recommend approval of amendment to the master sign program for Ewald Automotive Group, LLC, 6319 South 108th Street, with the conditions and recommendations that were made by the planning staff?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, you. Everybody. We appreciate it.
Okay, see status mayoral
care,
ad hoc.
Bob.
I have a meeting that's going to be just putting an agenda together, so we'll be meeting shortly. Part of the turn, you don't have to have the agenda we worked on, do you?
I can spiel it off the top of
you
my head.
You can do that? You like a photographic memory here?
Okay. Just because I was working a couple minutes ago. It will be scheduled for next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. We will have a number of guest speakers explaining their experiences with the development review process in the city of Franklin. One will be three sellers, one will be from Veolia, and we're also going to have a representative from the Chamber of Commerce who could speak from that side of things, as well as their experiences for Staybridge Suites.
The chairman of the...
Mark Hansen.
Of CECO.
Or the president.
And then I think we also have Scott Matthews, isn't he?
Yes, from the
Metropolitan Builders Association.
Yep. And then partly from that standpoint, yep.
Who wants to maybe talk to us about potential legislation that his organization wants to introduce, things like elimination of impact fees and different, it's moving.
And there's a few things, housing standards. They would like us to say we shall have a mixture of housing of all types and opportunities, instead of saying, in comparison purposes, the comprehensive plan says we shall consider a variety of housing to be decided on a case-by-case basis by the Common Council. They would prefer we say we shall have a variety of housing for all income levels and stuff like that. So I thought that would be interesting, too. And sustainability issues as well, saying that we shall consider sustainability issues. So on some sides, restrictions like no impact fees. On other sides, asking us to consider, you know, new things that we currently don't do.
Well, I think they're also looking to talk to us about having smaller homes,
yes.
Building smaller homes. So the reason I'm bringing all this up is because I think it would be of great interest to many of you. That may not be on this route.
Do you understand that he isn't bringing a draft to present, or is it still in the talking development stages?
I think it's a combination of both. It's a bullet point list, and they have additional information. If we're interested in any of those topics, we can obtain some additional information from them. And from my previous conversations with him during the comprehensive master plan, because I did talk to him during that process, and he brought up some of these ideas back then, that they have their standard template that they're trying to push to all the local communities, but they are willing to work with the local community to revise that language to make it more acceptable to a local community, too.
But are they taking that to the state to try to get it adopted by the state? Is that...
I suspect so, but my conversation with him, with Scott at the time, was just how was he interacting with the locals. So that's all I know for sure, but I suspect their organization might be
the answer is yes. And so the impact is to Franklin be pretty significant. But however, there's been a lot of discussion in the past about incentive packages and things like that. And one of the things that Mr. Matthews said, well, instead of doing incentives, maybe what you should do is just eliminate your impact fees for a while. So. And then I think on the other part of the agenda is that we're going to be talking, we're going to be doing some contact to see if members are still interested in serving on there, because that's been one of the reasons that we haven't been able to meet. The gentleman from Veolia should be very interesting. I invited him to sit on the committee because of him saying, well, we don't have to do many of the things that we're doing in Franklin when he visits other communities. It should be pretty interesting.
Tuesday night, 7 p.m., hearing chamber, probably the hearing period.
You got notices going on?
Tomorrow.
Hey, can we move that meeting to the building inspection?
Conference room?
Yeah, it's much better. Yeah, it's much better. In fact, whenever we have meetings like that, we should have them in here. We can't. It's just a better environment over there. Yeah, Mr. Midland.
I'm going to be out of town and I won't be there, but I'd love to hear these people talk and see these people talk.
I'll make copies of whatever they give us.
Do we have a means by which in the corner of the room you can put a video camera or anything like that?
We have no video
for Skype.
At least planning is it.
Skype. I could watch it live from my hotel room. No video camera for the city?
Not that I'm aware of. I know we don't.
So are we digital recording though? Is there going to be a digital recording?
No, just a digital recording.
Make it live.
Yeah.
Except, do you record those?
Yes, we will be. I think we have the last couple of ones. So, yeah, we will continue to do that. Mark Liberta has his own little thing that he's been doing.
It's a good idea. I was just doing Skype until my computer completely died on me the other day. My brand new computer. But I was doing Skype with my sister in Virginia with my mother on Mother's Day. It was terrific. Sell tickets. We need money around here. So.
We're scrambling for them.
I think we put on a pretty good show about that. So. Let's see. Franklin Trails Committee. Well, Conference Master Plan, forget it. No. Trails Committee, nothing? Good. How about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. I can't believe it. All those in favor, you did that. Ice have it.
Motion carries.
Too many meetings.
Oh, interface.